Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone. Once again, you're joined by Hydro and Dr. X, my fellow co-host. And for this episode, we are joined by CK. Welcome, CK.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
So tell us a little bit about what your, well, we already know, but the audience may not know that you are kind of like the main moderator slash administrator of Cute Funny, correct? Can you tell everyone a bit about what Cute Funny is, for those who may not know?
Yeah, so something I noticed that was happening on the internet, especially on places like Discord, that it was getting really hard to have a chat where lolicons could just be lolicons. And I thought that was a huge problem. I hate censoring myself in that way. And I've been banned off Discord 3 times. So I decided to host Cute Funny. And basically it's kind of like Discord. It's definitely a little bit different, but it is Matrix is the back end for that. And really it's just a self-hostable version of that, last time I checked, it has 7,000 active monthly users. So there's a lot of lolicons on there now.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've seen plenty of spaces where people post lolly stuff without worrying about getting moderated, like on Discord. And it's crazy you've been banned 3 times. That's crazy.
Yeah. We've heard of people getting banned, not directly from Discord, but because like they were on like a server that might have had like Lolly or Shota or something, and they just banned everybody who was part of the server, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. So it's very good that you're doing something like creating a place where people can join and are free to talk about lollies and Shotas too, because I'm on the server as well, and I know that you allow pretty much any kind of cute and funny stuff and lewd stuff on there, and it's great.
Thank you. It's funny you mentioned the Discord banning everybody in a server, because I think that's when I really realized I couldn't keep doing Discord, and that it was kind of a bad idea to keep investing my time into that. Like I've always liked having and helping people have spaces to talk about the stuff they want to, but when like basically everybody in my Discord got banned, I felt super bad because a bunch of these people had their accounts for years, and I felt really guilty about that. So yeah, that's definitely a big motivator for why I started focusing on alternative platforms that I think are going to keep getting better and better instead of worse and worse, like Discord and places like that are.
So when did you start Cute Funny?
I started it in 2021. So it's third birthday was actually on the 4th of October.
Oh, wow. It was this month.
Yeah.
And that's great that you started it. I'm super glad that you did. Yeah, it is like Discord without having to worry about getting banned. And you've definitely been helping a lot for community, as you said. And that's really important because we need like strong communities going forward. We really do.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, I know it's definitely has a lot more quirks than Discord. And, you know, I didn't develop it, but I think Matrix And why it's better than some of the other alternatives is because it has less quirks than some of these others. And I also think, kind of like Barag, it has a federated nature. So really anybody could host their own Matrix server and have their own rules on that. And that just makes it a lot, I feel like it makes it a lot more friendly just to having people join and feeling comfortable on whatever server they're on.
Yeah, exactly. It's the decentralization that Koi was talking about in his episode that really gets around all the fucking corpo bullshit and banning Lolly shit all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, as of this episode anyway, you know, recently there was a big exodus from X Twitter, surprise, surprise, because of more crazy, like, draconian rules that they put in place, like with the blocking feature and stuff like that. And so a lot of people went to Blue Sky. I'm just like, well, if you're, you know, into Lolly or Shota, good luck on Blue Sky, because they don't allow it either. So that's why, like, a huge influx went into Barag.
Yeah.
And they had to do it. It was actually the server started getting, like, throttled because there were so many people trying to go to Barag, or there were already people who maybe had signed up an account there and then were just like, you know what? Fuck this stupid X Twitter platform. I'm just going to go to Barag permanently.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of people when that happened, even still now, people talking about leaving Twitter for Barag. And, like, the fact that it started slowing down Barag's servers, like, that really goes to show, like, the amount of people who are into Lolly or Shota is fucking huge. And a lot of people don't realize that. Like, it is very popular, and obviously not everyone is open about it, but it is, like, a huge audience, honestly.
Yeah, it is. It's big. Like, it's very, very large. And you know, you've probably seen that. Like, when your cute, funny server first started, how quickly did it build? Like, with the number of people on your instance, like on your cute, funny server?
I think the first year was a bit on the slower side. But what I kind of just did initial advertising, I would post at places. There's also a person who hosts, like, a Japanese, learn Japanese learning group. And he noticed my server and thought it was a really good one. So he put it on, like, his list of Matrix servers he recommends. So if you search for list of Matrix servers, his list is still usually, like, the second or third result. So you can find it and you'll see cute, funny on there. So I think that was definitely a big way I grew initially. And I think really the big breakthrough is when I started hosting files for artists. So I use something called Nextcloud. It's the same thing you guys use for hosting your podcast. And you guys were actually one of the first few people who approached me about mine. But yeah, a lot of those initial break-ins were just people seeing it, probably because of the URL and associating it with that, which is pretty nice for me.
Yeah, it was very, very cleverly named, or very apt URL. Yes.
Yeah, because easy to remember. They know what it ties to the meme. Also, whoever that owner is of that learning Japanese thing, that they're obviously, if I'm gonna ever learn Japanese as another language, that's gonna be my go-to, because they added you as a Matrix server, and that just that alone gives them a lot of good cred.
I was definitely grateful for that initial break-in from that.
Yeah, and it has been very helpful for artists that they can host have their stuff hosted on your server. And I even helped an artist get on your server because they were having trouble finding a place. The self-hosting thing, or like hosting on places that specifically allow Lolly Show, has been really huge. I think it is one of the biggest breakthroughs for us so far.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, and I'm really hoping I can do some things to improve it too. One of my ideas was to kind of have like a unified login for both the cloud and the, you know, the Matrix side. And I think it would be also nice if I could use that single sign-on to like make it so you could integrate it with like Patreon or Subscribestar. I think, I don't know if Fanbox has that feature, but if it does, you know, same with that as well.
That would be cool if you could manage to have like a unified login, because that I think sometimes a barrier for people joining a new server or a new website is the convenience factor, right? Because they want to be able to just, you know, get in there, make an account, and then that's done. They don't want to have to go through like any extra steps. And you know, the simpler it is, the more accessible it becomes, and then the more likely they'll join.
No, I definitely agree. I think accessibility is probably like the biggest hurdle to using stuff like Barrag or Cute Funny or really anything that's even a little bit off the beaten path, because a lot of people are conditioned, like they've used a product for a while, and that alone can usually you know, deter people. But also I think people are a little bit cautious because they don't really know, and it's probably a good thing too, but they're a little bit cautious about these alternative platforms because they don't know its reputation, if they're you know, if it's gonna get them in trouble or if it's malicious or anything. So I think especially less techy people, that's a big concern for them.
And you know, you had talked about that with the Matrix itself. One of the things that's interesting about the Matrix, because it's kind of open source and it's, you know, part of the Fediverse, you can use like many, many different like client side, I forget the exact terminology they would use,
yeah,
but basically, you're basically, to kind of put it in a simple way for people who are listening, it's kind of like you can choose from like a variety of different, picture like several different variants of Discord in terms of you being able to log in to Cute Funny or whatever that's on Matrix, and you can use that client to get in there. Like I use Element, for example. That's the name of like the software, but there's also I think it's called Skildy Chat or something like that, kind of like has like a turtle icon almost, but there is also plenty of others and they all do the same thing, but they also have their own, like you said, CK quirks and differences in how they work. I would say Element's probably the closest for me that feels like Discord, but it's still different. It still has a little bit of a different way of approaching it. So, you know, that's the kind of the nice thing is you have a ton of choice as to which exact client you will want to be able to log into.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And just because of how that is and how unique that is to stuff like Matrix, it makes it a little bit difficult for people to understand what they're even signing into. People come up to me and be like, I got Element. Why can't I access your stuff? I'm like, well, it's because you signed up with a different server.
yeah.
Probably matrix.org.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. it's that convenience factor, because that was kind of something I had to figure out too when I initially was trying to get it working. And I remember we had set up like an IA server or like a channel on Element initially, and I forget which Matrix entrance we used at the time.
Lollyshow.chat.
That's like
which closed, so we moved it to CK's server. Cute Funny.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And like the thing was, is I was having trouble remembering, like I was like, oh man, how do I get into this? So then I had to make like a whole new account specifically to log into Cute Funny on my end. And it was so like that convenience factor, if there can be like a client side thing that makes it super easy, then I think even more people will join. But I mean, you the fact that you've got like 7,000 members is already kind of going to show that people will try to put in the extra effort if they can get a place where they're welcome and they can post whatever they want about cute and funny lollies and shodas. And so that's good.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely agree. It's definitely the biggest thing. So something I think is really nice is that unlike places like Discord, where it feels like they just keep adding more ads for Nitro or whatever feet profile banner thing around your avatar you could have. I feel like Element and Matrix, for example, they have been working on a better way of syncing your chat. So that's kind of been like a huge issue, especially on mobile. It is just about done now. So it's stuff like that I think people may not realize they really like about stuff like Discord, but I would see that it's improving still on Matrix, and it hasn't been, you know, cumbersome and like in that sense, like it's actually been updating in a good way instead of a kind of sidelined way like Discord feels like these days.
I have noticed that it has been working better over time, that it's been getting better. So that's good. I'm glad to hear that, because again, it's one of those things where you get so used to a particular platform like Discord where it like loads up stuff, and then you go onto Element and it's like slightly different, and they're just like, well, maybe I will go back to Discord, and it's like, no, hold out, it'll be worth it. Just stick with Cute Funny, or stick with, you know, a community, even if it seems a little more challenging to get set up, it's definitely worth it.
So CK, you're a lolicon, as you said, but how did you get into loli in the first place?
So that's an interesting story. I think if we go all the way back to before I was even like watching anime and stuff, I have to blame My Little Pony Friendship is Magic for initially getting me realizing how much I liked cute things. So I only watched that till season 3. Because if you've seen that finale for season 3, you'll understand why. but what it did make me appreciate is also just like, I really like cute things. And so I started watching anime shortly after that. My first one I really watched was Kill la Kill.
That was a fun one. I did like that one a lot.
For sure. That one was crazy. It was definitely a fun first one, but I remember really liking Mako. It was like, dang, what is this like feeling in my chest of liking cute things, more or less. But I feel like I've also always liked flat chests. And so when I saw, I think it was just, I don't know why I was on B, on 4chan B board.
A lot of people question why they're on there.
Yeah,
seriously, yeah, you never really know.
Yeah, you always find something interesting on there. But anyways, I was on there, is the true story, and I saw the loli thread, and I was like, holy crap. And that was pretty much the history. I was hooked after that.
So it was that thread that was your true awakening, huh?
Yeah, that definitely was.
But when you first awakened to loli truly, do you remember any characters in particular that you were especially drawn to?
So one of my favorite animes ever was Nichijou. I watched that not very long after Kill la Kill. But something really nice about Nichijou is all the characters are super flat.
Yep.
Just the art style they make them. So that definitely made me love it even more on a superficial level, I guess, if you want to say. But I think probably my first like real anime crush character is probably Yuko.
It's a good choice.
But I like a bunch of other characters.
Yeah, I watched Nichijou as well. It was a very fun anime. It did get dubs in English like maybe a couple of years ago or so. But I thought Yuko sounded a little too old in the English, personally, which often happens to dubs.
Yeah, I feel like she had the English voice actor had a really hard shoes to fill, because her Japanese voice is absolutely insanely good. And yeah, I mean, like I watched the English dub of the deer scene, and I was like, I felt like she was like, the English voice actor was dying trying to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is big shoes to fill, because Yuko's voice actress in Japanese is great. So did you generally prefer Yuko over like a younger character like Hakase?
Oh, Hakase is really cute too, don't get me wrong. I don't know. I'm trying to think, what is the first real loli character that I fell in love with? Because I feel like I definitely love, you know, really small lollies as well. But I feel like that hasn't really been a factor so much for me with like waifu material, I guess, if you want to say.
So are there characters that are like on the older side, but maybe more having more petite breasts that you also like as a waifu sort of thing?
Yeah, I'd say so. So I would say my two favorite characters, like of all time, it's probably no surprise, but I really like Riko from Maiden Abyss. That's probably my favorite anime ever now. And I really like Reimu, especially when she's drawn smaller. So she's from Toho, and if in case you haven't heard of it, especially because her canon appearance is kind of leaves a lot to the imagination if you've seen any of Zune's art. But I really like when she's drawn smaller. I think it's a lot cuter, flat-chested.
The creator Toho like basically gave everyone permission to do whatever the hell they want with those characters, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. So it's interesting, in Japan they have an odd copyright system, I guess. So what I understand from it is that the fair use isn't exactly a thing in the same way, but it's more like you, if the artist can give permission of how they want you to be able to use that. And I guess so that it's kind of a disadvantage and advantage, because you can also get more rights than a fair use would give you. So with Toho, you can basically do whatever you want. And as long as you made it, I believe you can even sell it. So there's a lot of Toho doujins and projects. You can buy a bunch of them on Steam that aren't like really affiliated with Zune at all, but they can make money off of them. And a lot of them are pretty good too.
I remember there was a bullet hell one. I remember Toho game.
That's how I first heard about it.
It was like fucking crazy music.
Yep,
for sure. That's how I got into Toho. So they're all the mainstream Toho games, the actual ones are all bullet hells. And they have crazy music. They have, they're not exactly MIDI, except some of the older ones actually do have MIDI versions of all the songs. But yeah, basically it has crazy music that, and that's how I initially got into it, is I just heard some of the songs. I was like, okay, I need to play this. And then I ended up liking Bullet Hells.
And one of the coolest parts of the fandom for me personally, because I haven't like played any of the games or like anything like that, is that there's so many parodies. Like there's tons and tons, especially on the Japanese side, of course, but you still see it on YouTube. Like one of the ones that I remember the most was they adapted like a Japanese McDonald's commercial for You and Owen Was Her, that song.
Oh yeah, classic.
Yeah. Yeah, that man, that was like more than 10 years ago. Jesus, like I think I remember seeing it in high school. Man, those were the days of like YouTube poops. Yeah, honestly, Japan had their own version of YouTube poops. I don't know what they called them. I think that maybe they were called Mads or something like that. Might have been that. But yeah, like they've done so many fucking parodies, and it is really impressive the amount of work they do.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's super cool that there's so much fan art of everything Toho. You can go on like Gelbrew or something, and like for Reimu, there's more art of Reimu of any situation you could possibly imagine than you could ever hope to see in your lifetime. There's so much of it.
I love it, which is incredible. And you mentioned Riko, was that right, from Maiden Abyss?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Hydro has watched Maiden Abyss.
I have completely caught up, and you know that I totally agree with you on Riko being extremely cute, and like it. And what my favorite thing that I like, though, is that the creator of Made in Abyss is extremely based and basically has openly said, like, oh yeah, you know, totally lewd those characters and stuff, because I probably would if I'm sure that artist probably already, the creator probably has. And it's just great to see, like, an artist that's openly, that's got a popular manga and anime, that's just kind of like, oh yeah, I totally would do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great moments in that anime with, like, Riko, like, wanting to look at Reg's penis and is very, very obsessed with it at times.
Good.
But it also has, you know, also an anthro lolly too with Nanachi, which is great, because you don't see them quite as often in animes and mangas, or at least you don't see the mixture of human and anthro characters. So that's another reason why I like Made in Abyss. Her character Riko, though, is definitely very, very cute, though. She does, for those of you who have not seen the anime, you know, you be prepared for some intense stuff at moments. that's all I'm gonna say. It is cute, and there are funny moments, but there's also a lot of intense moments, so you have to be ready for that. Have there been any animes that, like, you've seen, like, cute characters for and you've been thinking about watching? Like, I know for Dr. X and I, we've watched Spy Family, and we think, like, Anya and Becky are very, very cute lollies, lolly characters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's probably a big reason why I picked up Spy Family. It's super digestible, so I've shown a bunch of people Spy Family, and it's really fun to kind of see more normal people react to Anya's antics and stuff like that. So I guess that's a, like, kind of a guilty pleasure. Talking about Made in Abyss also, yeah, I think the creator is super based. And, you know, I think it's really nice to see that there's so many varied kind of interests that are put into it, and the lewd aspect, or because it's kind of like a ground where there's lolicon, shotokans, and furries all in the same place, which is pretty cool. So I definitely appreciate that aspect. You kind of get to talk to, you know, I don't talk to too many, like, furries on a regular basis, except through Made in Abyss. So I think that's definitely kind of a cool aspect of it as well. Also, the other thing to mention about Made in Abyss that you mentioned, yeah, I mean, it's rated R for a reason. But I really do like the story and how real it feels, because of the, I guess, the willingness to depict the gruesome elements as well. It's just been really special for me overall.
It is cool to think that Made in Abyss is able to bring together, you know, multiple communities, because, you know, in Sexual Awakening, that game was kind of unique too, because it had a Shota character as the main character, it had lollies, and it had MILFs, and it had Onesans, and usually they're in straight Shota games in particular, usually it's either you get one or the other, you don't get both. Definitely, like, in the Western, like, developers, that's almost unheard of. So yeah, it was really cool to see fans of the game say, oh, I really like the lolly characters. And then you get the people who are just like, oh, well, I you know, I'm not really into the lollies, but I do like the MILFs. But then all of a sudden we started seeing over time the people who said, well, you know, I was just into the MILFy mom, but then I tried out the route of one of the lollies, and actually I like them too. And then they did the opposite too, with the lollicons going into the MILFs. And it was really, really fun to watch that. And I would imagine Made in Abyss probably does a similar sort of thing, where probably maybe furries who are into just furry characters, but maybe they had not realized they were also into, like, the cuteness aspect of, like, Lolly or Shota. And suddenly they get into that too. And then they might get more into Cub and stuff like that. So I gotta give big kudos to the creator of Made in Abyss for being willing to blend all those different genres together.
Yeah,
along with those thinly disguised fetishes.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a really cool story about your game, though. Yeah, I think that's really fun to see people enjoying new things that you think are good because of something like that.
Yeah, in the second game, we even have a Shoto romance option. So there's stuff for people who are mostly interested in Shoto as well. So yeah, yep. we've built a very nice community that I love and really appreciate. And I appreciate when they support us and everything like that.
And, you know, speaking of support, when creators of Lolly and Shota frequently a barrier that has come up and currently seems to be probably one of the biggest barriers right now is when someone is trying to get any kind of monetary support or some kind of financial support from fans or just people who want to help them out. You know, sometimes that's been tough. And I remember, CK, you and I were talking a little bit about how what we would like to see in the future is some kind of platform or website or way to, you know, have people get that support. Now, there are places like Subscribestar, but with Subscribestar, not everyone has been able to get into it right away. We're honestly not sure why, Dr. X and I, because we've never really had issues like getting into there, but some people have, you know, it's taken a very long time to get approved. And, you know, luckily there is another website that we've recently seen come up, which is
UniFans. Yeah, it's a new website, so it's not 100% vetted, but there are some very early accounts that it might be the real deal. So we'll see. So some Lolly Show people are using it. So hopefully it works out in the end, in the long run. But of course, when it comes to the discussion of subscription sites, it would be nice to have a subscription site that is more geared towards, you know, the kind of stuff we do, the Lolly Show to stuff, without any ambiguity and, you know, also having some kind of ease of use for getting on. And of course, I know that's not necessarily the easiest thing to do because, you know, there can be tons of people trying to get on, but it would be very nice if in the future there's more sites, or at least one more site that enables people to monetize their Lolly Show stuff, because that would be huge.
That would be a big step.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I saw somebody posting about UniFans in your guys's server.
Yeah.
What I can say, I mean, I haven't looked into it at all, but what I did notice is that it looked like it might be a Chinese website, from what I can tell. Or do you guys know yet?
I might have heard it was also Canadian. So I don't fucking know. Maybe it's Canadian and Chinese at the same time.
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I would have to do more research on it, but I'm glad that there are some members of the community that are taking the plunge and trying it out so they can then let other people know if it works out for them. So far it seems like there is some promise. So that could be something for other people to look into and see if it works out for them.
Yeah, I hope so. For your other points with that, yeah, I mean, for one, I tried to get on Subscribestar and I thought it was just gonna be like the same as Fanbox or Patreon. They just let you on. So I didn't really like prep my page or anything. And then I applied and I didn't hear back from them for like 2 weeks. And so I emailed them because that's what they say to do. And then another week or two went by and then I got email back saying something like, it was very PR. They were very nice and polite. They're like, "Hey, sorry, we weren't able to tell if, you know, you're somebody we want yet. You just need to make sure you add your socials or stuff." And they might even added a smiley in there. I forgot, but yeah. So anyways, I kind of let that sit for a while because I didn't know what I would go, but I did message them back at some point saying like how much I was making off Fanbox and how many users I had, but they'd never emailed me back. So
yeah, they're very serious about having ways to vet people. The most ideal thing for them would probably be you having a Twitter with tons of followers, but you know, that is not necessarily very easy for Lolly Show people to do. So yeah, that is a possible barrier.
It's unfortunate.
Some smaller creators have still been able to get on. It's just like not super clear the exact formula to get on. So that's why it would be great if in the future someone made a site that is more accessible for people like us.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something I really do want to do. I think about that so often. But I mean, it's kind of just, I don't really have the resources, and I mean, anybody who is thinking the same thing I do probably doesn't really have the resources to do it right now. So I think as I keep learning, I'm learning, you know, more and more about this server stuff every day. And I think it would be really cool to get into programming and start doing that aspect of it. And hopefully as I, you know, I continue to grow my sort of base, I'll have the funds to be able to kind of get something like that started, or like anything that would help artists and, you know, just general cute and funny enjoyers get started with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think the time is now for the community to start thinking about stuff like that. So we become more self-reliant instead of trying to rely on other sites that may give us some trouble and maybe inconsistent. Relying on Patreon isn't very intelligent these days.
Oh yeah, no, it's crazy that many people are still using Patreon for their lolly stuff.
I mean there's even some issues with the furry art. If you're doing furry art on Patreon, it is rather inconsistent with what they allow. So like even that, you know, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah,
I remember Dr. X and I mean this was like 3 years ago now, 3-4 years ago, like Dr. X and I even said to ourselves, you know what, if I can guarantee that if Patreon is banning Lolly and Shodan incest and all that other stuff, they're definitely going to go further than that, because there's nothing stopping them from doing that. And, you know, there were still some people who would stay on there who didn't think it was going to happen. And then sure enough, down the road, they're just like, well, you know, if you depict any anthro characters with any kind of animal genitals, that's not allowed. And also, you can't have anything that implies mind control or any kind of hypnosis. And then on top of the inconsistency, it's like you said, CK, I don't know why people would even bother being on there risking it, because they're I've seen some examples of people who've had pretty big, large amounts of income on their Patreon, and they use it as their primary source of income, and all of a sudden Patreon just banned them with no appeal, no like response warning thing. They just banned them, and that was it. And they took away all their income. So it's like that is really bad. And you know, we don't want that to ever happen to any creator in general. But you know, the Lolly and Shota community certainly knows about that kind of struggle, especially when it just comes to just having followers. Like even like big creator, what was the name of that one creator, Dr. X, that did that Anya animation where like it was Anya like tonguing your Forger's ass or whatever? Oh,
DR has done...
DR, yeah, yes.
He's done some of that stuff.
DArt had an enormous following on Twitter. I think DArt had something like 250,000 followers, and that account got completely wiped out because of the Anya Forger thing.
Did he even make it? Because I think I don't think it's possible to kill DArt. I think he's immortal, honestly.
But what I'm saying is it's like, you know, when you have that many followers and then your whole account gets destroyed and you have to start from scratch again, that can be very demoralizing, especially if you're a small, like if you're a big creator like DArt, you can regain those followers. But if you're smaller and just starting off and you get like, you know, a few thousand followers and you're feeling pretty good and all of a sudden you get banned, we don't want people to lose their motivation to create and be able to make, you know, Lolly and Shota stuff.
Yeah.
What I have seen recently is some people are ending up making their own sites and like putting like a subscription thing on it on their site. So that's a possible thing for people to do as well. I haven't like researched like how easy it is to do, but that is something for people to look into if they're having trouble getting on Fanbox or Subscribestar. I think the primary problem with Fanbox is just the censorship aspect, and they might be a little antsy about the 3D art stuff at times.
Yeah, it's definitely not the most ideal for English creators, especially because all like the currencies and yen and stuff. But it definitely is.
That was fun.
Yeah, as far as like accessibility, that's probably the most accessible that I know of. And then you can post your stuff off platform. As long as you don't get get caught in a way, then you're good with that.
Yeah, it'd be a good idea not to link your Bareg from Fanbox. They don't want any direct links like that.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit more sneaky than that for sure.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy that people do that, and I'm sure it's even more devastating when you have money attached to it, but getting like your Twitter or your Discord banned just for being yourself is super demoralizing. It feels like part of your life has been ripped from you for really no reason except for the world's bias against you, basically.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something I think about, and why like a huge motivating factor for me to create spaces for people to be able to hang out. And if I was able to, like, if somebody was actually like seriously going with something like a payment platform that would be a serious alternative that would help people making lewd stuff like Loli and Shota, I would definitely support that any way I could. So yeah, if you guys hear anything about that, definitely let me know.
Hopefully someone listening is that piqued their interest a little bit, because there's definitely demand. It's not like it wouldn't be like completely a charity service, you know what I mean? Because you'd be getting a cut of the profits. So, maybe someone listening can think about that angle a little bit as well. But the main thing is helping people out, helping artists out. But it's like I said, it's not completely like, just helping people out. You can help yourself out as well. So it's something to think about. Like the Made in the Biz creator, I really appreciate creators who are like not afraid to like say, yeah, I like Lama Shoto, I like the loot stuff or whatever. And like he was even following a Renji. And I think we can probably guess why.
Yeah. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That meme really blew up. The gamer, Anatomy of a Gamer meme.
Yeah, and it does really help that the Made in Biz stuff is so good, that so many people like it. I think it does help people like accept Loli and Shota a little bit more if the work, the quality of the anime or whatever is very really good. Because I've even had normie friends who really like Made in the Biz, even though there's some horny stuff there involving Loli and Shota. So it's like people can even overlook that if the quality of the thing is good. So that gives me hope as well, that it's not something, some kind of like undefeatable thing, like it's not something, not like a barrier that you can never defeat in terms of like perception of Loli and Shota. So
yeah,
I think it's definitely within people to grow on that.
Yeah, I think for sure, I totally agree with that. Yeah, and he's a super personable guy. He one of my other friends, he drew something for him just because he asked. So he does live streams and stuff. He speaks mostly in Japanese, which is kind of a barrier, but
yeah
he is a super personable person. Yeah, also I was gonna say earlier, but I just wanted to make this clear. Even though I like my kind of waifu characters are Ramu and Riko, which are a bit older, I would not say I think they're the hottest characters, because Anya, for example, is definitely a really cute, and I really like the hentai of her as well. That's really awesome.
Oh, so you think Anya's sexier?
Oh yeah, for sure.
and there was that really based episode of Spy Family where Becky was trying to seduce Lloyd, which I love that. I love that.
That was by far the best. Did you see that episode, CK?
Oh, was it in season two or?
It was in season two, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
I haven't seen season two yet.
Oh, man. Oh, God. You're going to love that episode so much. Yeah.
But even in season one, I was like, the way she is talking, it's like hard not to interpret it like in a lewd way.
Oh, she's down bad for Lloyd, yeah.
Yeah, it's like really hard not to think that.
She wants that cock.
Yeah, you'll definitely enjoy season two, because not only are there moments with Becky, of course, in that episode, but there's also some funny, there's cute and funny moments, of course, with Anya. And there's just, yeah, that's definitely like the main appeal, you know, for Dr. X and I. But by far, the Becky episode's like the best episode by far out of season two. It's definitely our favorite. It's just so good.
Yeah, we're biased, but yes, we really did enjoy that one. That one was fun. Also, I wanted to ask CK, like, you enjoy Lolly, obviously, but are there any like kinks in particular that you enjoy for Lolly?
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing to say, but I really do. I mean, I'm pretty vanilla overall. I really just am attracted to their cuteness is the biggest thing, but I would definitely say I have a thing for Lolly feet and armpits as well.
Oh, nice.
Especially when they're short and squishy. I really love those kind.
What about tummies? Is that good too?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And like that, and Dr. X describes like the what's the part of the chest, Dr. X?
Okay, so maybe you'll appreciate this as well, but when the chest is so flat that you can see like a little bit of the pectoral muscles on a Lolly's chest. Are you into that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm all for.
Oh, I love how you said, "Oh yeah, yeah,
oh yeah, yeah." Per flat is what I call them.
yeah, I love that. It's great. It's a little bit of androgyny, kind of helps.
Oh, absolutely.
So with the feet, does that include like foot job stuff as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, so I'm not much of an artist. I don't want to give anybody the wrong idea, but I did really want to draw and kind of get a little bit better at it. And I think the way I actually got into feet was just because when I was trying to draw them, I started noticing them a lot more, and and that basically got me into them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is an interesting story. Yeah. I didn't expect it was like through drawing. That's cool.
Well, then you must love Highwear then, because Highwear is, man, he is like a master at the feet stuff on Lolly's. Like he does amazing feet work.
Let me see. I don't recognize the name, but I may have seen his work before.
If you like Lolly or Shota, you got to check out Highwear for sure.
you've had to have seen Highwear's works. You had to have, because
he's on Brig as well.
I'm looking at his account right now. Heck yeah. I'm a big fan just looking at this. Yeah, I've definitely seen a few of his pictures.
Yeah, because I work with him on DGen Comics. And I did that like Pokemon 1, the Spoils of Victory comic. I did the Small Tight Spaces comic with a very cute like black Lolly. The feet stuff, if you like feet stuff and you like armpit stuff. Oh, I don't know if Highward does a ton of armpit stuff, but if he did, it'd probably be fucking amazing. I'm just thinking now of like some different animes you'd probably love. And Dr. X, I think we know what CK would love. He would love Mary and Buddy Daddies.
Oh yeah, she's very reminiscent of Anya, but even like, I would say she's even more of a sweet character.
Yes.
Very cute and very, very sweet. I think you would enjoy that if only for the Lolly, but I think the story is also nice, and then the main characters are also very personable. So that's something you can look into. Honestly, Hydro and I have been talking about it, and we do consider it a better spy family in a way.
Oh, heck yeah.
It is, yes.
Yeah, it aired not too long after it, too. I remember seeing stuff of it, but I never thought to watch it for some reason.
Yeah, it could be worth a try.
I'll definitely watch it. I think I would definitely enjoy that.
So you told us your story for feet, but what's your origin story for armpits?
That's even funnier. So I said Reimu was my favorite, one of my favorite characters. So her dress she wears, it's a sleeveless dress. It's a shrine maiden sort of outfit. It has like, you can see her shoulders and the top of her arms. And she is kind of like, has like kind of a meme name as the Armpit Maiden. So nice. I think definitely just my love of Reimu and the fact that she there's a lot of art with her armpit showing got me into it for sure.
That's cool. Oh yeah, her outfit does have her armpits showing, so I can see why you got into that. It's like it is kind of lewd in a way.
Yeah, for sure. And what's funny is that Riko, her outfit, especially later in the show, has armpits as well. So,
oh yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
He's kind of known for having armpits showing as well. So I say Reimu got me into armpits and Riko kept me into armpits.
I remember when Riko did have her outfit change like that. I remember I did like it. I was just like, oh yeah, I do like this look for her. It is really nice.
Do you think the Made in Abyss creator, do you think he's into armpits?
He's probably a little bit. He seems to be into a lot of stuff, but I think he definitely is a little bit because one of the fan pages he does. So in the manga, he does like a fan service sort of page at the end, and he'll like have. There's actually just straight up nudity in the manga.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the fan pages, it's like very intentional. So there's one of the more recent, I think it was two volumes ago, it was literally Riko. She was cooking and then she like lifts up her arm and she realizes that it smells a little bit, and so you get a picture of her smelling her armpit like in full view.
I mean, that's the fetish as well. just that,
yeah.
So people can imagine Riko's smell.
Yeah, imagine the smell.
Yeah.
Probably like girl sweat and dirt is what I imagine. And she's always adventuring. I'm not really into the smell aspect too much, but you know, I'm not like grossed out by it, I guess.
Mm. But you can always imagine like a nice smell from her armpits if you want.
Yeah.
Like a nice girly smell, perhaps. That's the power of Loli.
True.
I always thought it was funny that both Riko and Reg really liked Nanachi's soft fluffiness, and you could definitely tell there was definitely lewdness to that, and it was great.
Oh yeah.
And I really liked that.
I think Nanachi is like gender ambiguous, like you're not really sure what parts they have. Is that right?
Yeah. So the official thing is, I guess a little bit of a spoiler, but before she was a furry, well, I say she, but before they were a furry, there was a gender, and now there is no gender. So that's the official lore.
Yeah, because I've seen Nanachi portrayed with a vagina, and I've seen them portrayed with the penis. I guess choose your own adventure with Nanachi, basically, whatever you prefer.
They use gender ambiguous pronouns for Nanachi in the manga as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been confirmed a boy or a girl before the furry part either. So
mm-hmm. I know that recent Elusive Samurai anime had lots of Shota stuff in it, and I feel like it was like Shota propaganda in a way, you know what I mean? Because the show was good. Yep. The show was good.
Yeah, it was. So it's like, it was really fun.
Whenever there's like a good show with Loli or Shota in it, it does feel like propaganda. like we're creating more Loli cons and Shota cons, or at least like having more people awaken to it. And I really love to see that.
Yeah, you gotta love it.
And there are cute Lolis in that as well. There's one particular Loli that's great in that one.
Yeah, one of them is a Shrine Maiden Loli.
Yes.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, an archetype I like for some reason. I can't really, I don't know why. It's like, I guess it's the mysticalness of it combined with Loli. It's kind of...
I mean, that's an amazing combo. I mean, that's probably why we like Senko-san, Helpful Fox Senko-san, the Loli Baba.
Well, I haven't watched the anime yet, but I would make her my wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's prime wife material, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And that reminds me, yeah, so... You might have just given your answer just now, but like if, you know, like in like some kind of fantasy scenario, if you had to pick one Loli to make your wife, who would you pick?
Oh, oh yeah. Man.
I mean, definitely Rico. I don't know. I really appreciate a lot of like aspects of her outgoingness and her love for her friends and her sense of adventure as well. And she's really dedicated to all those things. And I think just she's always has a happy personality. It's hard to make her mad or upset. So I really value that. And I think, I don't know, that just makes her, I really like her for those reasons, I guess.
Oh yeah, I totally get that. Like that'd make for a very pleasant marriage.
Yeah.
Plus she's good at cooking too. Like she gets more skilled at cooking, which that alone, I'd be like, well, all right, you're all set, Rico. All right, time to break out the wedding ceremony. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like Remu for, she's definitely a different character than Rico. She's very smart and she's also kind of lazy, but she also really cares for her friends. And, you know, when push comes to shove, she does have a sense of duty for the, you know, Jinsokyo, what she's basically the guardian of. So I think it's really admirable. And I think would be really good wife material as well for different reasons.
Yeah, I think one of the commonalities between those two characters I just mentioned is their how much they care about their friends.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important.
So you're drawn. It seems like you're drawn to the kindness of those characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I think. I mean, I think it makes them cuter, and I also just think it's important. Like, I really like hanging out with people like in real life for a little bit of the same reason. I like making friends, and that's why I am kind of drawn to create a space for people to be able to do that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good that's like the ideal mindset to go into when creating a community, especially as like the main head person of it. Because, you know, Dr. X and I, we basically took the same kind of approach when we created the IA server on Discord. What was, we wanted a space where people could talk about Lolly, talk about Shota, can't share any lewd art, of course, because of doofy Discord, but we created a space where it was very accepting of not just Lolly cons and Shota cons, but really anybody, but mainly people who are into Lolly, into Shota. They've told us about how much they love our server and how comfortable they feel there. And I'm sure I'm sure you've had people say the same thing for your server, right, CK?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have had people, you know, it's always kind of hard to take compliments, but, you know, I definitely have seen people say that kind of stuff, and it makes me really happy to, you know, to see people being happy with what I'm offering. I guess I kind of feel bad about getting compliments because I just feel like it could be so much better, you know, so I'm definitely working on it still.
Yeah. Well, you are doing a lot. Like, it matters a lot to people.
Yeah, it does.
And yeah, it is crazy to think about the kind of impact we're making in people's lives. I know what you mean about like it being kind of feeling weird to receive compliments sometimes, because like in a way it just kind of feels like we're being like normal people. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like a baseline niceness and kindness. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, not having a problem with Lola and Shota and, you know, being kind to people. But it is a nice feeling to lead the way on that and inspire other people to have that kind of kindness and acceptance as well. And I think that's what you're doing with your community. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, and I'll keep trying my best, you know. I understand it is kind of an ego thing as well, so I just try to, you know, take the compliments and also kind of know what they mean by them too. Like, I know for a lot of people, it does mean a lot just to have the space, even if it's, you know, even if there's something they don't like. So I just try to, you know, I'm just going to keep trying to improve it the best I can. and I'm glad people do appreciate it.
So if people want to go on to your Matrix home server, it is or even browse your website, because you do offer hosting services as well. Is that right?
Yeah, for people's art. So I offer the like the cloud storage for free for artists. So if you draw at all or have something interesting, like you know, the Shoal Lolly cast or in Sexual Awakening, you know, I'd be happy to give you some storage for free. And if you just want to like host your own content or anything lewd, you know, I do offer it for, right now it's about $5 a month for 30 gigabytes, and that helps out with the server cost as well, which is you know, it's, I've been very fortunate. I have money now that I could pay for it, but it isn't like, you know, it's not chump change that to pay for all that. So it's super appreciated. I'm able to actually not go broke because of that, by people donating and getting that storage also with that.
Oh, so it says on your website the ways to donate are through Fanbox, and you can also use Monero. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, Monero is a type of cryptocurrency for those who aren't familiar.
Yeah, and that can be, I mean, if somebody knows how to do it, they know how to do it, but it can be a little bit, it can be kind of discovering a whole new world to get Monero. But yeah, I don't really have a good alternative for like a one-time payment thing, just because, you know, PayPal doesn't want me to have a business account, and I don't really want to like have a docs link for people to donate to me too. But yeah, and really, if you just want to donate for 1 month for on Fanbox, that works too.
Yeah, every little bit helps, and you would really be helping the Lolly Show community, because they do need, like, you know, Discord alternatives where they can talk about Lolly Show and share like art with each other without worrying about getting banned. So if you have the means to do so, And you like the server, the home server that CK is making, and all the hosting services he does, please consider donating to help him out.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're being very generous with artists, you know, offering them a place to upload their art for free is what you said, correct? For artists.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know people, artists need it. And it's also like a platform that they're probably not very familiar with, but it's made me really happy to see people actually be able to use that and to great effect after getting like banned from Mega or whatever they were using before.
Yeah, well, we can attest that Dr. X and I have really appreciated how good and reliable those servers have been. And anytime, you know, the server has had some kind of technical issue, you've been like on top of it and fixing it. And it's worked extremely well for, it's where I put DGen comics. It's where I put IA build and Sexual Awakening builds. It's where we put Shalicast stuff. So, we definitely can vouch for CK's amazing server and his awesome, cute, funny platform. So please be sure to check him out. And, you know, we'll provide the links in the episode so you can see where to go in order to check him out, and consider supporting CK as well. You know, like Dr. X said, every little bit helps, especially for a community like ours that has so many fans. We want to be able to have like bigger communities and bigger places and more centralized places for everybody to go.
Yeah, so thank you for everything you've done for the community, CK.
Oh, thank you. And thank you guys as well. I think your podcast is really cool. I think it's really cool you guys have made a game and all the effort you put into that. And if anybody is listening to this that isn't supporting these guys, I definitely would as well. Because, you know, I think it's a pretty cool thing doing the podcast and all that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And thank you for being on. It was so much fun talking to you about Lolly and stuff. It was lots of fun.
Thank you.